Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Well, do keep that passage open. It's on page 1189. I wonder what was your best fellowship moment of the last year in church? For me, I think it has to be being those moments of having people round at the dinner table and sharing with one another how we came to know Jesus and experiencing that love together. For me, when we had a family staying with us for a few days, they're Bible translators in Southeast Asia. And as we sat down in the living room to share what we've been up to and what the challenges have been, a real love for one another, even though we hadn't seen each other for 5 years, that real love where you're talking to someone and you're like, yes, this person in Jesus, they get it, and we get them. And what an amazing thing that is. I wonder if you've had that. And the question that we're going to look at is, like, how do we get those brilliant fellowship moments? How do we grow in fellowship with one another? Maybe you had other ones that you were sharing just now. How do we get that? How do we grow in fellowship as a church? Now, if we're asking this question in the company world, normally the language of culture and values come up. What kind of culture do we have? What kind of mindset do we have? So a lot of companies often try and do this. So I'm going to give you some values. See if you can work out what company I'm describing. Okay, I'll give you a clue. All of them are organizations based in the UK. Okay, here we go. Number one. This organization, its values are inclusive, curious, robust, sustainable, and ambitious. Okay, see if you can work out what that is. That is, any shouters? That is NatWest Bank. Okay, next one. Courage, discipline, respect others, integrity, loyalty, and selfless commitment. No, totally silence. That's the British Army. Okay, maybe. Yeah, it's quite hard, isn't it? Sometimes these values, they turn out to be a bit of a waste of time. You know, they just go on the company website. Maybe someone, when they're applying for a job at this company, they get asked about them. Maybe if they're doing well, a couple of LinkedIn posts to add there, but then it gets forgotten. Sometimes these things work really well. And they give organizations and groups a common language and a common understanding to say, this is what we're going for. And perhaps there's none other greater than West Ham Football Club that have the West Ham way. And maybe you've heard this. They often talk about the West Ham way, attacking football. And that means that if you're a West Ham player or any point in the team, you know that you need to play the West Ham way, attacking football, because that is the way to do it. Now, that's so much for the world around. How do we grow a culture of fellowship? What kind of culture or values or mindset are good soil to grow fellowship? What kind of culture, mindset, values can grow fellowship? That is what Philippians is going to help us with. And we're focusing on those first two verses of chapter 2. They help us see what kind of culture we need to grow in. And we're going to think about this under three headings. Firstly, your mind matters. Your mind matters. Philippians speaks into this culture question. Have a look with me at verse 2. Paul says to his readers, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one spirit and purpose. Be like-minded. And we're talking about the similar things, about like culture, mindset, attitude. Have the same mindset. And in many ways, this is the big theme of Philippians. It comes up twice, this word mindset, as Paul's saying his purpose of the letter. It's actually the same word. You see at the end of verse 2, you see the word purpose there. That is actually the same word as like-minded, a few words up above. It's the same word that you get in verse 5 of chapter 2. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. It's the same word again. And if you were to flick over the page to chapter 4, verse 2, where we meet Euodia and Syntyche, Paul says, same word again. I want you to be of the same mind. I think the NIV does it as agree with each other in the Lord. It's the same word. Philippians is helping us see. That's why it was written, to see what this mindset, what this culture, what this attitude is. Your mind matters. It's giving us this mindset so that we would grow in fellowship. And it's important because if we're honest, often our mindset and our attitudes are shaped by the world around us and not about the Word of God. That's so many things, like if we're really honest, are around us, and we're consuming so much content, either through social media or TV, so much around us is saying something very different. So much around us is telling us, in a world where we say that this life is all that there is, and we need to treasure the here and now. There's so much around us saying we need to treasure our own needs above the needs of others. Even if I just go on the tube this week, you see the Amex advert. I don't know if you saw it. It's got that sort of long list of things that you do as you go out shopping. And the big conclusion of the advert is you deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve to use an Amex card so you can buy that thing that you want. And you can use their card and get some points as well while you go. Maybe it's just everywhere, isn't it? Maybe you were watching the Christmas movies last month, and maybe you watched The Holiday, and you got that moment in The Holiday. If you don't know what The Holiday is, it's like this sort of romantic comedy film, and there's like these four people, and they're all traveling around and sort of falling in love, la-di-da-di-da. And there's that big moment when one of the main characters in the eye, and he says, "You're supposed to be the leading lady of your own life. You're supposed to be the leading lady of your life." And that's when the character realizes, after everything, that that was what was going wrong. And it's just, yeah, all of these things. It's all around us. But if we were seeking to be changed by the Word of God and not the world around us, what's our attitude? What's shaping us? What, as we start this year? So what is this mindset? What is this mindset? What is a distinctly Christian mindset? It's so important, so much around us. What is the distinct Christian mindset? And that takes us to our next heading. Unity is about Christians thinking the same way, not different ways. Unity is about Christians thinking the same way, not different ways. Have a look with me at chapter 2, verse 2 again. And this is really important, because I think this is where we try and where we find it quite tricky. So verse 2, "Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose." Do you see what he's saying there? Being like-minded, being one in spirit and purpose. It's about followers of Jesus going in the same direction, going the same way. I take the analogy, if you're going for a walk together, you've got to agree the destination to go to as you start out. Or maybe think of a different analogy. Okay, picture our church musicians who are leading us very well earlier. I want you to imagine a scenario. Imagine Stu was there playing at the guitar And he decides, okay, we're going to do this a bit differently. Let's imagine that Stu, instead of playing in C, like everyone else, decides actually he, like many of his favorite songs, are played in B, and that we should play in B. And that he will, while everyone is playing in C, he's going to play in B. And actually, if Stu was to take that one step further and decide, actually, we're not going to play 10,000 reasons, or at least I'm not going to play 10,000 reasons today. I'm going to sing Take My Life instead, because I like that song. Because that's the way that God made me to be. And that's the way I'm going to worship God today. That wouldn't work, would it? If Stu suddenly decided that he was doing his own thing. And our musicians lead us so well, don't they? Because they sing the same tune, at the same time, in the same key. And it's all about being a good... Okay, I won't tell you about the laughter and the musicians at the moment. They lead us well because they're team players. And we often hear this in so many different walks of life, don't we? About getting a clear vision and going forward with that. Like-minded. Now, it's important to be really clear at this point. Paul isn't saying that we all go around wearing the same socks, all going around having the same job, all going around having the exact same views about the Westfield Centre and how it's a big shame that it's not sort of growing in Croydon, or the exact same opinion about football. But he is saying that there are some things that it is good for us to think about the same thing. We're a church of many backgrounds, and we want to grow a church of diverse backgrounds, nationalities, and experiences. But there are some things that we need to agree on together for us to grow in fellowship. Some attitudes and ways of thinking are unhelpful and hinder our fellowship. Unity is about Christians thinking the same way, not different ways. Proper unity and fellowship is in many ways actually both inclusive and also exclusive. One body, one spirit, one hope, one faith, one God and Father of all. And the reason why it's important to underline this point is because this is often where it can go wrong. Because often when we try and grow in fellowship, the approach often we can have is just that we should think differently and not say anything is wrong. And unsurprisingly, if we keep pushing difference, we end up disagreeing with each other. Paul says, have one mind. Now, we need to approach what exactly that one mind is and unpack that. But let's just have a little sidebar for the moment. Because this, I think, is the natural question, the broader question that often comes up as we look at this chapter. And as I've been knocking this around, this is often the question that comes up. You see, in a broader way, what do we need to agree and disagree on? Can we do that? That is a really important question. And just on this little sidebar, it does seem that as we read the New Testament, there are some things that Jesus and the New Testament authors feel very strongly about and defend very strongly, and there are some things that they don't mind about. So sometimes it's helpful to think of this language of primary and secondary doctrines and beliefs. In fact, actually, as I was preparing for this, you do see it in Philippians right here. So if we were just to turn over the page to chapter 4, verse 2, there's Euodia and Syntyche. It seems to be enough for Paul to say, Euodia and Syntyche, I plead with you to agree with each other. And that seems to be enough for Paul. Great. Guys, sorted out. Thanks very much. But then in the earlier chapter, there is a different issue in chapter 3 of the circumcision party within the church. And at that point, Paul is much stronger. He said, don't have anything to do with them. Don't watch out. They are dangerous. There seems to be this primary and secondary thing. And actually, as we look back over church history, Amazingly, in our own denomination, the Church of England didn't used to be as divided as it is now. So if you were to get in the time machine and go back to the Victorian era, there had been a consensus. There was a consensus there, and there had been a consensus for several hundred years that was broad enough to bring people together and clear enough to say, this is who we are and this is what we believe. They managed to create a consensus that brought people together. And it was until the Victorian era when that suddenly began to unravel. The consensus that had been brought together from things like the Book of Common Prayer and the 39 Articles. And unfortunately, it began to unravel then. And that's sort of partly how we've ended up where we are today. I find it really interesting. One person who was standing for that was a guy called Handley Mole, who's amazingly is one of the names written on the stone who opened Emmanuel, someone who stood for the gospel as that was beginning to unravel. That's a little sidebar. I'm very happy to talk more. Just want to think about it a bit because it's a question raised. But now we want to zoom back into Philippians. What's it say? What is this mindset? What is this mindset that grows us? It's about what we treasure. It's about what we treasure. Philippians is a book that unpacks what this is, what we treasure. Think about the things in your life. What do we treasure? What are we encouraged to treasure? Often we're encouraged to treasure just like jumping through the knife stages. Get married, get a house, go on nice holidays, children, pension, grandchildren. Jump through the life stages. Those are the things to treasure. But actually, Paul gives us three things across this letter to treasure. And I think there's a slide, if we could have that, the next one. So, number one, proclaiming Jesus over your comfort. That is what we see in chapter one, that Paul is in jail. In fact, let's have a look at it. Flick over to chapter 1, verse 17. This is his situation. Chapter 1, verse 17. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of that, I'll rejoice. There is Paul's mindset. His comfort is having a terrible day. He's in prison. People are preaching Jesus to make his life worse. And yet he's delighted because Christ is preached. That is the attitude. That is the attitude that he has. That is the attitude that he wants his readers to have as well. And it is often the case that when followers of Jesus are focused on verbally proclaiming Christ, that is what brings them together in fellowship. I think of many of the things I've done in the past, things like when I've been to Paris and joined a Christian Union team. We were doing this little like mission weekend. And there we were, a whole group of different people, all at different stages and backgrounds, praying together and serving together. What an amazing thing it was. Or maybe you've been to one of these things where you're praying. And you're praying with people that Jesus would be made known. And what an amazing time that is. And as you are focused on Jesus together and making his name known and him being proclaimed, coming together as followers of Jesus. For me personally, I've noticed that when I need someone to cry, when I need a shoulder to cry on and I need someone to ring up, it's the people who I've done this with, the people that I have served together with making Jesus known. These are the people I pick up the phone and cry on their shoulder and share with. Because this is what brings fellowship together. It's not without challenge. I was thinking of when, in my last role, we tried to get a church youth weekend together. We gathered about three or four youth groups together to go for a weekend. It was challenging. And yet, there's a real joy in doing it and a real fellowship together. So that's the first one, proclaiming Christ rather than comfort. Number two, the needs of others above your own. This is chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. This is the famous bit about your attitude should be like that of Jesus, who puts the needs of others first. I'm not going to say too much because we're going to explore that next week. Natasha will help us do that. But just to steal a little bit about of Natasha's thunder. I think probably we agree in principle that is a right thing for us to do. It can be hard, though, can't it, when it gets to the real nitty-gritty. You may know the story of Zog and the flying dragon. I find the great thing about children's stories is in a lot of them, you don't have to choose between your needs and the needs of others. Often, both goals somehow neatly come together. Princess Pearl in Zog and the Flying Doctor, she has her own direction of where she wants to go because being a princess isn't nice enough for her. But amazingly, she is also able to help others in the process. I wonder if you've noticed that. It happens in so many children's films. It happens in Moana, it happens in Coco, it happens in Mulan. I often just pursuing your own interest and the needs of others, they always seem to sort of neatly come together and work out like that in the end. But in real life, we often have to choose, and we have to choose whether to put the needs of others by ourselves. More on that next week. And lastly, treasure the righteousness of Christ over everything else. Do flick forward to chapter 3. Let's read chapter 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. It's a bit of a summary of this bit. We won't look at the whole chapter, but this is a bit of a summary. Verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may be gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that through faith in Christ. What's he saying? This is the mindset he has. This is the mindset that brings followers of Jesus together. He's saying that the basis of his acceptance with God is not what he's done. It's not the rules that he's done by keeping to the law, even though he's done so many things, so many good things. He is saved on the basis of the righteousness of Christ that is given to him when he trusted in Christ. And it is that attitude that he wants his readers to have. People of old used to call it justification by faith alone. And often we get stuck in fellowship because we're just stuck in moralism. We're just stuck in sort of be nice and you'll be accepted. And we don't see that actually it's about what Jesus does. We're not humbled by the fact that Jesus gives us everything. And it's all about receiving. And when we find that, and when we come to the foot of the cross of Jesus and accept his righteousness, then we find that humility that enables us to look sideways to our brothers and sisters. It's all about treasuring Christ over all. And our fellowship will be changed by how much we're of one mind on these things. So just as we're coming to a close, just a bit of a summary of this mindset that Paul wanted his readers to have so they grow in fellowship. We want the fruit of fellowship. Will we go for the root? Will we have this mindset that grows us in fellowship? And I, as I'm reading this, I'm finding this so challenging. How many times have I been selfish and been an obstacle to the fellowship that I could be experiencing with other believers because of my own selfishness? So as we close, it'd be helpful for us to look at the screen and just look at this outline and think, okay, where, doing the self-diagnosis, where am I strong? And it is okay to say you're doing well at some things. And sometimes in church, sometimes we feel we have to be doing bad at everything. But it is okay to say, yes, actually, I'm making good progress in that. Isn't that really encouraging? Thank you, God. Where are the ways that I'm growing and I'm doing well? Where are the ways where I need to grow? And maybe if we're looking at that list and we're thinking, yeah, actually, that's where I need to go next. That's where I need to go next. What do I want to say to Jesus about that? Is there someone that I know, a Christian brother or sister, who, if I don't get it, they really do get it? And I could watch and go alongside them and grow alongside them about it. Christian fellowship, treasuring, it's about what we treasure. Let's pray that we would treasure the proclamation of Christ, that we would treasure the needs of others, that we would treasure Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, please would you help us as a church to be of one mind and one spirit and one purpose. Lord, as we grow closer to you, please grow us closer to one another. Lord, we pray that we would feel both those things growing in our lives, and we'd be able to look back and thank you for the ways that you've grown us in our love for you and for one another. Please help us. Help us if we can't see where to go next. Help us, give us the illumination in our hearts so that we know. If we know and we're finding it challenging, please be with us. Help us to persevere in growing and following you. Amen. Well, we're going to come now to the communion part of our service as we come to the cross and as we come, not trusting in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness that comes through Christ who died for us. And I'm going to hand over to John, who's going to be leading to us.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.